We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Light Years After Show on the Locker Room app. I got Andy Liu with me. Warriors beat the Denver Nuggets. Steph Curry sets a record for the all-time leading Warrior. But before we get into that, first thing I want to say is thoughts are out to Jamal Murray. That was just such a brutal fall at the end. My fingers are crossed that it's not as bad as it looked. But for what was a great game for Warrior fans and kind of an all-around fun thing, that was a real damper on the night. So I just want to acknowledge that before we get started.
Yeah, one of those. I mean, just in a season of tough injuries. I mean, for the Warrior, us Warrior fans, we know it's been a few seasons of tough injuries. But we're seeing it around the league. We're seeing it on, like, superstar players, the hardest part, right? Like AD, KD, LeBron, all these guys. Just like, man, it's hard to watch. It's hard to see these players that get to sit out, have to sit out. And well, hopefully it's not bad. Hopefully he's not out for the season, although it seems like he might be. But let's hope he'll be back for the playoffs.
Yeah, fingers crossed for Jamal Murray. With that put aside, let's get into the game. Just wanted to get that out there before it started so people didn't think we were monsters. Not acknowledging what we just saw. Stephen Curry, 53 points. Probably could have had 70 if he wanted to. I don't even know what you say about this guy anymore. Like, just Denver could do nothing. Like, Campazzo, I like Campazzo as, like, you know, I kind of like those type of players, but it's just hilarious watching him just, like, do the Rudy impression on Steph and just, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, a little bit of Deli vibes there.
Big
Deli vibes, slapping the floor, slapping Steph, you know, just kind of hounded him and just trying to foul really every possession, hoping the refs don't call it. But tonight was one of those games where it felt like when we started the season, you know, when we did our like 80,000 preview pause, we're pretty excited for the season. You know, even after Clay got hurt, we felt like, hey, if this team, you get them a 6 seed, you get them a 5 seed.
Before we realized being excited, it's not what the season's about.
We were, you know, we expected some stuff, you know, but this was the type of game that I think if we saw this type of game in like game 5 or something, like you and I would have been convinced, like, now this is a real first round threat. You know, they could be a second round team. And like this was why, like, Draymond out there was a force on both ends. I think he had like 18 points, right?
Season high, just to be clear. Yes,
unreal. Like career high. But it was one of those games where it just felt like, man, if the Warriors play like this, not like you're not always going to play as great as this, but if you play like some version of this consistently, that's a really good basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, my takeaway on this game is obviously Steph goes without saying, but Draymond and Wiggins. Wiggins, I think, played excellent defense. I think he's played really good basketball all the way around. Like, we can argue about the contract. He's not a max player, but he's objectively a useful player, right?
Right.
I think those guys are showing that they can play a role on next year's team. If we want to go deeper into it, Juan Toscano-Anderson definitely has a role as, at minimum, just a bench energy guy. Like, you know, you can throw him in there for 5-10 minutes and he's not going to make mistakes. He's going to D up. He's going to probably get some loose balls for you. He's going to make a smart pass. Maybe Jordan Poole didn't shoot the ball well tonight, but Jordan Poole is starting to show. Yeah. And like, what's really important for me with this Warrior team is twofold. Get in the playoffs, let Steph go off and show everyone how good he is. Just a little reminder for the world. And the second thing is kind of identifying who can be players next year when hopefully they are, you know, revamping the roster and trying to make a more serious contending roster, because they have a guy who's good enough to be the best player on a title team. And there's only about five teams in the NBA who can say that.
Yep. That's the part watching this game made you realize, like, we realize this, but made you reinforce the notion that, damn, they could win a title. They got to fix, you know, who they're playing and who they sign. Right. I think one example that you threw out there was Juan Toscano-Anderson tonight. Was incredible, in my opinion. Very good defensively. Always makes the right box outs. Have you noticed that? I've noticed that more this season because I watch guys like Oubre and guys who just, like, don't do the little stuff. And then when someone like Juan Toscano-Anderson comes out there and, like, makes the right plays, you're just like, and consistently makes them, it's a breath of fresh air. He's like a Draymond light, right? He just, all the way down to the fact that he has no offense either. It's awesome. It's awesome the way he plays basketball. It's fun. He makes all the right plays. And he always finds Steph. So, like, they got to get those guys. They got to get those guys more run. It was fun to watch him tonight. And, like, he played why? Oubre was out. Wiseman was out, right? But, like, it's almost like, damn, like, it took those guys to be out. But are they almost better when they play with right, Juan Toscano-Anderson over someone like Oubre? And that's crazy.
Isn't it funny? Because, like, at the tail end of the dynasty, I feel like we were so annoyed that it was like Steph, Clay, and three dudes who don't want to shoot the ball ever. And now they've put, you know, I mean, Oubre, Wiggins, Bazemore, all these guys, they're certainly not shy shooting the ball. It's kind of like if they get the ball, it's head down and, you know, pray for the result, right? That it makes you almost appreciate someone like Juan who has like a split second thought in his head that maybe I should pass it to Steph, who's wide open 2 feet next to me, instead of just putting my head down and barreling to the rim. It's like they can't get the right balance. I mean, they definitely got the right balance down when they had KD in all those years. But, like, it's funny, you know, like the same things we'd get annoyed with, like, at kind of the tail end when KD was out. And it's just, you know, they can't shoot the ball. Like, right. Now they're the complete opposite way. And it's like, can we find something in the middle?
Yeah, some guy that can do a little both. Like, I think Jordan Poole is a little bit on the other side where you're trying to live with it. I know that's another guy you mentioned. Yeah. We got a lot to cover tonight, so I'm just going to throw some stuff out there. But, like, Jordan Poole is another guy where I'm like, you kind of live with the stuff that he does on offense just because they need that, right? Like, defensively, not so great, but, man, he's creative, and he can hit a ton of shots.
Yeah, he can.
The three is off. What is he down to now? Like, 33% or something like that? But, like, man, like, He is a special bench scorer, has the potential to be a special bench scorer.
36% on the season, which I'm generally okay with. He was super hot last game. Tonight he was 0 for 5 for 3. But, like, he is kind of a microwave scorer. It's like Lou Williams, where the percentages never match the eye test. Like, you know how, like, when you watch Lou Williams, you're like, oh, that dude can just hit everything. And then you look at his percentages, you're like, why is he shooting 34.8% from three?
Yeah.
I thought he was a better shooter than that. It's kind of like, I don't know. I think Jordan Poole can be better than that in terms of efficiency-wise. But, like, if he isn't, I would rather him lean into just being Mr. Bucket Getter than trying to overthink it.
Yeah. Yeah, enough with the just go out there and play basketball. Just go for that crazy dunk, which somehow went in, right? Shoot the heat check jump shot he did. Yeah, just do it.
Let's bring this back to Steph, because I feel like the story of this game for the Warriors is Steph and Draymond. I don't even know what we say about Steph. Like, at this point, you know, we may have 30,000 hours of, you know, Steph kind of quasi-slurpage podcast footage. So there's not much else to say. Like, he's I don't know, man. He's already the greatest Warrior of all time. He's one of the 10 to 15 greatest basketball players of all time. He's at this point, I just want you to appreciate him. Not you, but like all the listeners. He's going to retire one day. He's going to move on. And I promise you, no amount of lottery picks are going to amount to a Steph Curry. Like, you go through the last like 12 drafts in a row, there may be two players who are comparable to Steph talent-wise. Like, you could say like AD and Luka are guys who have legit franchise talent, but neither of them are as special as Steph. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to get to his last year and be like, damn, we didn't really appreciate that.
I think there is a level of, it's not even the on-court talent that's so special, and that is, right? Because there's a lot of talented players. It's the way that he does it on this team, where the team was beforehand. Like, all right, you throw Anthony Davis out there for an example. Anthony Davis was special in New Orleans, but nobody gave a shit. Like, partly because there's a couple reasons, right? He's in New Orleans, sure. They didn't win that much because his team was terrible, sure. But just who he was, he's not exciting. Nobody cares about Anthony Davis. But with Steph Curry, he's so special in that not only has he drops 50 points tonight, but the way that he drops 50, it makes people who don't care about basketball watch basketball, right? And that's really one of the cool things that I think,
right,
when this all happened. Yeah, this all became like national, right? We knew about this. Everyone in here, everyone that listens to Light Years podcast, which by the way, subscribe, 5 stars. Like, they know, we all know Steph is special, but it's the national TV stuff where it's like nobody draws. Nobody understands this like Steph Curry, which is, you know, sometimes I think, Sam, you and I get a little annoyed that Steph doesn't get the notoriety from the national people as much as they think, because this is the type of stuff where you're like, what player in the league right now could do what Steph did tonight and have it be that exciting? Like, I don't know. I don't know if I can name another
one. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, we can go down the list. James Harden is a phenomenal basketball player. I just don't know that he gets people out of his seat like that. Like, Kevin Durant, same thing. Like, we can go down the list. He's got that certain quality that you just cannot identify. It's because it's all authentic. He's not demanding trades. He's playing within a team flow. Sometimes the team flow thing is annoying. I wanted him to just chuck in the fourth quarter, but he's not going to do it. That's kind of part of who Steph is, right? Like, he's not going to do it. So there's just not going to be another one like him. And I just want everyone to appreciate it. He's 33 years old. I think he's got a lot of basketball left in him, but don't take it for granted.
I think, you know what's funny? I don't think your point is that fans shouldn't. I think there's a little bit in your voice that I tell it's more of the front office, right? Like, there
yes,
is.
Yes.
I can kind of hear that.
No one in our room, everyone who's in this room, I know is firmly a member of the Church of Steph. I'm not worried about that.
There's a little bit of a fear, you know, in the games like this tonight. You're like, this team could win a play-in game and they could win a first round series. Could even win a second round. Like, who knows?
They can absolutely scare the shit out of Denver or Utah for sure. Like, maybe not a fully healthy Laker team, but you know, they get a little Utah or Denver matchup. They're pushing them to six, and they're going to get very tight when they're dealing with Steph Curry in a 3-2 series.
That's exactly right. Like, that's the stuff, and that's where you want to see more urgency from the front office this offseason. And we're going to keep going back to this because it's going to be the most fascinating Warriors offseason since, I mean, obviously since they got KD, but
since last offseason,
it was. But like, they got to do something. They got to do something because this type of game. And he's done it so many times this season. This isn't like, oh, Sam, like we would just watch Steph go for 50, vintage performance that we saw, you know, like Steph in his prime. Like, no. This is Steph in his prime right now. There are at least two more seasons of this. You go capitalize on this and you figure out how to win with this guy. It was cool, man. It was cool to watch. It was, I think, another cool thing to see was him and Draymond play together. This reminded me a bit of like them against Portland. You remember that a few years ago?
Yeah. There was the embrace when Steph set the record for most points in the Warrior franchise history with Draymond. I was just like, you know, it makes us all a little emotional. Like, oh man, I don't want these guys to break it up or anything like that. Actually, that brings me to the last thing before we get to callers. Let's talk about this. Draymond, 7 for 8, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals. Statistically, his highest scoring output game of the season. Why do you think Draymond had his best offensive game? Do you think it's just random luck, or do you have anything else?
I don't know if I have a theory. If you do, I'd throw it out there. But this is the type of game I think that there is no excuse for what he was doing earlier this season, really this entire season. Like, no, yeah. some games he would have no field goal attempts, no points scored. Like, what is, like, we've been saying it all season. It's just not acceptable. Did he do anything crazy today? He made a couple floaters. Like, he ran the floor.
He hit some threes. That alone is very nice.
Yeah, hit 2 threes. So maybe, like, you know, those are throwaways, right? Like, so maybe you say he hits zero of those or one, maybe tops. But, like, he still should have 10 points. You take away the 2 threes. And I think that's the stuff where I'm watching it. It's not like Draymond tonight was doing some, like, Tim Duncan post move where he goes backcourt or, like, KG fadeaway. He's not doing anything, like, we haven't seen before. It's just that's the part where I don't understand. But
how much of this do you think was because he wasn't playing center, or he was playing center? Sorry.
There you go. And now I want you to elaborate.
So I first off, I reject the theory that he can't play with Wiseman. I do agree with the theory. If you want to force feed Wiseman through the post, they can't play together. So that's always been my thing all season. If you let Draymond play the de facto center on offense, and Wiseman is maybe a trail big who's shooting threes with confidence, who's not getting yelled at when he takes an open three, and who just slashes off of Draymond, I think that could really work. But if you want to play a big next to Draymond, like a traditional big, like a guy who operates in the post, I don't know that Draymond is good enough or his skill set is there to play that way anymore. And I know Wiseman's is it. So for me, all removing Wiseman does is gives the coaching staff less options, and then they have to play the way that this team is best suited to play, which is fast. Draymond is a point center, and everyone's spacing around him. And that's what they should have been doing all season. Like, all this cutesy, like, overpassing with a big man in the post works when you have Clay, KD, and, like, yeah, okay, get Zaza his post touches. But without that kind of roster, you're just wasting your second best player. And Draymond is still the second best player on this roster. Let Draymond be Draymond. Let Steph be Steph, and good things happen.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, I agree. That's a tough one. They had a little bit of a good stretch there when Wiseman was out the first time, right? Where they played some extended small ball where they had no centers. But, you know, that kind of wore down a little bit. But there's a balance that you can get. There's a balance there that you can find. And I agree. It's tough. They're kind of almost like you hesitate to kind of.
And to me, what I'm talking about is on offense, the way you play. Defensively, like, you do need you do want a big next to Draymond, because, like, asking him to bang with Jokic for 82 or 72 games or whatever is, like, unrealistic.
Which also, by the way, very good job on Jokic tonight. Jokic got his points. Like, he played pretty well, but think about Draymond, and the cool part of watching him play defense against bigs is they never push him under the bucket, like, very, very rarely. And you look at Kevon Looney, he guards Jokic on a few possessions. Jokic takes one dribble and Looney literally like three. You kind of can't blame him, but it's how strong is Draymond?
If Jokic is going to hit that, like, fadeaway 10-footer, so be it. But, like, Draymond didn't let him get a single easy one. He didn't let him get, like, cheap free throws or anything like that. And, like, that's Draymond in a nutshell right there. Like, he's – if you're gonna beat him with tough shots, you're going to beat him. But, like, he's not putting you on the line 10 times a game.
No, absolutely special. Yeah, we should have brought that up just earlier. Absolutely special defensive performance from Draymond and offense. Like, in the middle of the game.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Game of the third quarter, I felt like, man, this was peak playoff Draymond Green right here against the best, one of the best offensive teams in the NBA, like top three probably, right? And MVP of the league right now, Nikola Jokic. So, yeah, incredible. One of those games, again, we keep saying, or I'm going to keep saying it, where you put these guys in a play-in game, they win that. You put them in a first-round series, Oh, man, it could get ugly for the other team, especially if Steph's the best player on the court, and most times he's the best player on the floor.
Yeah, it's going to be a little dicey.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to Roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment.
All right, you want to move us to questions?
Let's get some people on.
Let's do it. We're going to be quick.
Blue Wire stuff now on the AVs. Oh, go ahead.
We're going to be a little quicker tonight. We're not getting through everyone tonight because we're not staying until 2 a.m., but let's keep it going. I'm going in order. We'll start with Will.
Hey, what a night, man. The only thing that made it better from Steph scoring 53 was Richard Jefferson, one of the biggest Warrior haters calling the game tonight. guy, like, it'd be so funny because the play-by-play guy would keep on saying, like, amazing stuff about Steph, and you could just feel it from, like, the television that Richard was just, like, gritting his teeth, not pleased about it. Draymond scoring 18 is like the equivalent of Steph scoring 53 at this point. I mean, that should be just
how much to celebrate. I would go farther. I would say Draymond's 18 is more impressive than Steph's 53.
it is like basically like an 81-point performance for Draymond. Unreal. Gotta love that. The thing that continues to frustrate me, though, as many Warriors fans, is the freaking bench we have. It is so bad.
You don't like those Nico Mannion minutes?
Oh, man. We don't need
a lot of G-leaguers. Nico Mannion, I mean, just come on, man. I mean, that looked terrible when he was in there. Luckily, we were able to hold it down. I want to talk about upcoming free agency because I know Oubre, there's a potential thing if he wanted to come back, we would shell out the money to get him. What do you guys think about this? I was looking up some potential free agents to come to town. What if we got like a combination of Malik Monk and either Rashawn Holmes or Kanter? It'd kind of be like a new school, like Landry and Jarrett Jack when they were here in like 2012, 2013. That's all I got for you guys. Go Dubs. Steph is a goddamn legend.
I appreciate that.
Love it.
Thank you, Will. All right. What are your thoughts on Rashawn Holmes and Enes Kanter?
First of all, Will Deck, last time he was on, he was so angry. Good to hear that he's happy, talking with a smile on his face. Enes Kanter would be my question goes back to what's the system that best suits these players, right? What is the best system that suits
Enes Kanter? Obviously beating Enes Kanter in the post. Here's my thought. I don't think a big should be a consideration if James Wiseman's on the roster next year, period. Like, because you're going to have to play James Wiseman. You got Kayvon Looney, who's kind of reliable, and you need to have a certain amount of minutes for Draymond at center. So, like, I wouldn't worry. I just wouldn't focus on the big.
There may be – I think there should be a focus on getting a good veteran big, but that good veteran big is not Enes Kanter. A good veteran, because he's fine. He'll score a lot of points. Like I'm like most Spates, right? But like they'll need someone more like a Zaza, but maybe a little better.
Right.
Robin someone, Lopez type
and
of guy.
Someone, you know, who's not going to get mad if they don't play every night. Yeah. I like that. Like a Robin Lopez makes sense. Yeah.
He would be really good for this team.
All right, let's keep moving. Ryan, what's up, man?
Let me throw something at you guys. What would you guys think if we keep Wiseman next year and we send Wiggins to Siberia and trade like the Minnesota pick for like a Gordon Hayward. So we have that future and we're also winning now.
Andy.
I was going to say Sam. did you say send Wiseman and Gordon Hayward? And
then
send
Gordon Wiggins,
Hayward. Send Wiggins away.
Wiggins in the Wolves pick for Gordon Hayward. So like what we're talking about is like not the home run, just like the marginal upgrade type of thing.
The problem with that, I would say, Ryan, is that the Warriors, if they're looking to move off the pick and or Wiggins, they're looking for a bigger upgrade than that. And I don't even think Gordon Hayward is demonstratively better than Andrew Wiggins today. Andrew Wiggins just locked up Bradley Beal outside of the foul at the end. And then Jamal Murray in back-to-back games. I didn't watch the Rockets game, but that's a really good defensive player. I don't know if he's the problem. And you're not shipping that player out unless you're getting, like, for example, Bradley Beal in return.
I agree. Thanks, Ryan.
Gordon Hayward, though. Had a nice season.
Interesting.
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's up, Antonio?
What's up, y'all? So I want to say two things real quick. So first one, get the negative energy out. I totally agree with Andy's tweet. I really could have just got up out there and pay me like Nico Mannion. I could have done the same thing. What pisses me off the most about him is he gives the illusion that he's playing like TJ McConnell, like that pest, like even just composite, like that pest defense, because he's going out there and I'm just like, why are you picking up Jamal Murray at half court? Like, he's not Steph or Dame, and you're just going to get beat. Like, you're like how I saw for Damian Lee last year. It looks like he's hustling on defense because he's behind this player every single time, and he's just in front. Like, why are you in front? And he's not going to pull from there. It was just so frustrating. But my theory is that of Dre's game today, I really loved it. It's going to go unappreciated by the media and everything, but I loved it. I think it's because the past few games, he was very mad at himself, and he kept throwing away, like, these dumb passes. And at one point, like, I think everybody saw the clip where he's just, like, stomping, like, fuck. Like, he knows he messed up. And then he's, you know, he gets up for games where he can have a challenge, and Jokic is a challenge. And I don't know. He was just a little hot from three today, but I really loved his game tonight. And if he could just hit that floater or just a mid-range like he did at the beginning of the game, he doesn't need the three. Like, it's like the whole Ben Simmons. Him and Ben Simmons are very similar in that way.
I agree with you, Antonio. I feel like, one, he needs to figure out a shot he can make on a consistent basis. And then two, from there, the Warriors need to build their roster. Like, if he's going to be a guy who finishes inside, they need Wiseman to be a outside shooter who slashes off of that instead of a guy who operates out of the post.
A great point about the type of game that he came into playing. He after the last few games, I'm sure, realized that this is a huge game. It seems like he can only play up during huge games, which is great to see that he still has it, but not so great if you've got a team that's three games under 500, right? Like, they need him to be consistently great, and he just might not have that anymore. That's probably the main reason. He just doesn't have that in him every single night.
Agreed. All right, let's move this forward. Let's keep moving, guys. Keeping it moving. All right. Hey, Guy, what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? I want to talk about Dre. I mean, that was everything we've been hoping from him, right? Like, I know we talk about the system a lot, but you could run a motion. You could run a pick and roll. You could run a stop, drop, and roll. When Draymond's been playing the way he's been playing the last couple of weeks, it's like we're going 4-on-5 out there. So I guess my question to you guys is, how do we build around this guy going forward? What do we expect? Because on the one hand, this is the same guy. He was given 30 game three against Portland 2016, 30 game seven against Cleveland 2016. And now it's just like pray for 10. So when you look at building this offense long term, what should the Warriors be expecting from him? And how do you build around that?
Thank you, Guy. Andy, you want to take
it? Oh, yeah, that's a great one. I'll take a first pass at it. There has to be – the thing about Draymond that's really tough to build around is that I don't think it's just shooting. Like, I don't know how much spacing will help. It will, but I think for him, it's they need to get more guys that know how to play basketball around him. So that's why it's so hard when Oubre and Wiseman are on the floor together with Draymond. You can get away with one of those guys because neither of them know how to play basketball. You can get away with one of them, but then you can't get away with two of them, especially in a system that – like, Draymond probably excels more in playing the system that Steve wants. And so you need high IQ guys, and it's tough. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to get those players in the NBA because the NBA is so simple in terms of just the pick and roll, the way that works today.
And I would just say spacing does help. Draymond needs to be the de facto center on offense. Maybe he can play whatever position on defense. Like defensively, it doesn't matter. You want to pick up the point guard, he'll do it. You want to play the center, he'll do it again. But offensively, you need a scheme where he's quote unquote the worst. He's the five man. So that's a little tricky, but you know what? He's worth it when you consider all the things he brings on the other end. So figure it out.
Figured out. Juan Toscano-Anderson probably needs a little more. A little more run.
Yeah.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, bring on Luke here. Luke, what's up, man?
Boys, how are we? We good?
We're good.
Heard Jessup's been doing well. Yeah, I heard Jessup's been playing well again.
Yeah, he's fucking killing it. He's been really good, actually. Bit of positivity, hey, boys? I just wanted to ask you, what do you think the whole Wiseman thing and all these injuries have kind of been a bit of a sliding doors moment now that Oubre's probably going to play the four? And if Steph goes on a bit of a run here and just kind of plays ultra small ball and kind of just fucks the league up again, do you think that changes anything regarding what their mindset is going into next year? And by the way, before you answer too, fuck Richard Jefferson. He's I just want to get that out. That Will guy said in opening the Will, he's 100% correct. He gritted his teeth. He's a fucking idiot. He shouldn't show all respect to Steph.
All right.
ESPN and that give him the credit where it's due. But, yeah, I just wanted to know if you boys think it changes any of their future plans.
Appreciate you, Luke. I don't think it does. I think here's what they need to do. They need to, if they're going to have Wiseman on the roster next year, they have to have a more specific plan for him other than, like, just figure it out. We're playing positionless basketball. Like, he's clearly not ready for that. You know, maybe you could do that with Giannis or AD, who are in their mid to late 20s and are smarter and have figured it out. But with Wiseman, you need to have like a very direct plan for him. And so I think Wiseman can play with this team and be impactful going into next year. But like, if you're going to do it, you have to have a clear vision.
Ooh, yes. The clear vision is key, especially in how you want to develop him. What type of player do you want him to be next season? Is he a shooter? Is he a stretch big, right? Or is he a post-up guy? Is he just a screen pick and roll guy? Is he all of them? I don't think you can do all of them right now. Maybe in 4 years. Pick one.
Agreed. All right, let's keep moving. All right, Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Mike. Good. I'm what's here. Up, can man? You hear me?
How you doing?
Yes, yeah, sir. We can hear you.
All right. So, one, I'd just like to say a proud member of the Church of Steph. Amen. guys, he's magical some nights. You know, you're just like, I just sit and laugh at the stuff that he does.
Right.
Wins like this are what make me mad about the loss, you know, at Washington.
Yes.
Like, I know you guys can play. We should have won that game. You know, like, I see the potential this team can play when they want to. And somebody had said it earlier. I think it might have been Andy about the bench. I mean, if you look at the box score, you know, it's Steph's win tonight. You know what I mean? Like, it's in Draymond's, you know. They got to do something. I don't know what else to say that it's been a problem all year. So thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Yeah, I think this game, midway through the game, I felt like, man, if the Warriors win this is just classic MO of a team that's inconsistent. You know, they can be good, great nights, but they're mostly just a lottery team. It's what it kind of feels like. But when you see Steph play like that, you're like, this is something that should be way more sustainable, right? And that's what makes the Wizards. That's what makes the Wizards game so, so much worse because of those role players. I don't know. The rest of the season is going to be fascinating to see because I think there are a lot of these guys are now in roles that make a little bit more sense. As much as it sucks to say, like maybe it's not good for Wiseman that he's out, but it may help Draymond. Because he doesn't have to worry as much on all. Like, that may be the case. It may be. It's not a good thing, maybe. Maybe it's not a bad thing. Who knows? But it might be better for them just to win a play-in game or win a first-round series game. But again, man, Wiseman was just getting back to playing really, really well, and that sucks too.
I agree with you. All right, we got John McWalter. John, what's up, man?
Hey, this was an amazing, amazing Steph game. Made more amazing by how humbled Jefferson was on the ESPN broadcast. God, he was awful. But you know what? I would watch Jefferson do every game if that meant Steph was going to go off. Because, like, God help me, that made my night. And then until Andy had a posting that it might be blown in the fourth quarter with him sitting there, and I got all freaked out. But you know what? You look at the roster. What can we do to fix it? No, there isn't much. But the good news is there's some contracts coming off the books pretty soon. Like, you know, Smaljic, not guaranteed. Lee, not guaranteed. Mulder, not guaranteed. You can find these replacements for some of these guys out there, right? You can try to find someone to take up Eric Paschal's $1.7 million contract, right? And try and fix this roster so that we don't waste this great Steph year and another great Steph year while we have someone like, I don't know, well, we won't get Suggs, but we'll have someone maybe in the top five, like, I don't know, whoever the kid from Baylor is. And you know, right, like, well, we'll end up with someone decent. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, hopefully our friends down in Santa Cruz, like Chris Wims, can develop some people and raise some IQs that Draymond, as you say, can play with them. And yay, Steph. Thanks for dropping 50-something on it. Made my night. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, John.
Steph makes the people happy is what he does. I think there's a fair point there about development of some of these young guys, Sam. Like,
I JT, agree.
Right? Like, Jordan Poole should be even better next season, presumably. And he's going to be very key if they want to be a very good regular season team.
I agree.
Oh, man. What's up, boys?
Oh, here we go.
What's up, man?
What's up, Sam, Andy? I just want to say, first and foremost, I want to punch Bazemore in the face.
Stop.
Like, bro, like, he's got the most punchable face I've ever seen. Like, do you guys see when he airballed that free throw?
Yes, but let's relax here.
I'm just joking around, but anyway, so obviously Draymond was incredible tonight. But did you think that he kind of took this game a little bit personally because he knew that he had to guard Jokic? And
100%.
And it's like, have you guys noticed that our team is so much more cohesive without Kelly Oubre on the lineup? Do you think because the fact that our main focal point is like, all right, we're going to play through Steph. And everybody was constantly looking for him. And there's just a different kind of energy. So what do you guys think about that?
Ooh, two great points, Sam.
I agree, by the way. Great call. Sometimes you're better off just linking your arms together and, you know, just flying V and let Steph shoot the ball, right? That's all we're talking about, right?
I didn't know you were going there. I do think that's the major reason. You just can't have both Oubre and Wiseman together on the floor at the same time to no fault of their own, because that's who they are as basketball players. We should know that already. The coaching staff should know that already. So when you take both of those guys out, you suddenly have guys that are looking for Steph, right? You have guys that are looking for Draymond, or make the life for Wiggins is easier now. I think that's very true. Juan Toscano-Anderson, somebody compared him to an Iguodala light. Yeah, I mean, that's a great comp. That's a great comp to someone that's so damn smart on the floor.
I agree. All right, Ricky Garcia. What's up, Ricky?
What's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What you got for us?
Can we talk about our friend Bob Fitzgerald tonight?
Absolute legend. Yes.
Yes. I think he was very spot on tonight about Kent Bazemore being really stupid tonight. The analogy.
Yeah, he was mad. Yeah, he was not happy with Bazemore. Oof.
That was 50 games of frustration over Bazemore coming out of
him. Yeah, that was that. Ooh, I never heard him like sound like that, where he was just, I have no idea what Bazemore's doing. I'm like, whoa, Fitz of all people. Anyway, go ahead, Ricky. Sorry.
Yeah, and then he's also trying to really sell the fact that the Warriors will pay for your COVID test to get into the arena too. So how would you grade Bob Fitzgerald tonight?
I mean, Fitz is it's either an A or an A plus at all times. There's no other way around it. You know, no one else is gonna try to tell you that Looney back screens are actually the Mona Lisa. So I appreciate it at all times.
Fitz is nobody better at playing up the other team too, by the way. Just the other team is Goliath every time the Warriors have to play them.
You want to have a friend like Fitz who just talks you up at all times. All right, let's get one of the
What's up, guys?
Nathan, what's up, man?
All right, kind of piggybacking off the last guy a little bit. Did y'all miss Oubre tonight?
No comment.
Yeah, like I talked with Dieter really briefly on Twitter during the game. I just asked, like, could you like pay Juan Toscano-Anderson $15 million a year as a free agent just to retain the salary slot and just let Oubre leave? I don't know if it's legal or not, but they got to retain the slot. But I don't think it should be Oubre.
I think it's fair to say Oubre is a square peg in a round hole. You know, yeah. he just wants to do push-ups and blow kisses. He doesn't want to do anything else. So might not be the best fit on his team. Nathan, we appreciate you coming on the show.
I think another thing that's tough is you almost have to choose between playing Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins. Because that's really tough. If Andrew Wiggins not on the team, I mean, he's been good. Like, you throw Oubre in there, he'd probably be a fine fit. Not as good defensively, but maybe a more consistent shooter, maybe. And so that'd be okay. Get to the basket. Like, Oubre will go to the basket more than Wiggs. But you can't have both guys. It's tough.
I agree. Antoine, what's up?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah. What you got for us?
Hey, I just had two things real quick. First one was, you guys talked about Juan a little bit earlier, but just surprising is how much Kerr loves smart basketball players. Every time I see Juan on the court, he's looking for Steph. He's setting the right screen. He's tough. He's getting rebounds. It's just criminal to me how he doesn't have more minutes, considering how the front court of this roster has been so limited. Why do you guys think that is? That isn't just racism and playing Nico Mannion. And my second point, was just, do you guys think this was overall top to bottom the best performance of the Warriors this year?
I just noticed your picture's a picture of Ethan Strauss. What are you doing?
Shout out, Ethan. That was the night at the Independent for the Count the Ding show where, Andy might have not made it the entire show.
Oh, but, dude, I remember that. I think I was with you as I was getting kicked out. I remember kicked out of my own damn show.
I bought you the last shot before you left.
Dude, that was a long night. It was a short night. Actually, that was the end of the night. I couldn't make it to. I was supposed to go to Bruno's in the Mission. Didn't make it.
God, I miss live shows. We gotta do that soon.
Live shows are good.
They were awesome. Thanks, guys.
I do think one of the weirder things about the season is how Juan has not a consistent role, considering he does hit like 90% of everything Steve wants. And he just, you know how like certain players amplify other players, like Iguodala, like is, you put Juan out there with Wiggins or Oubre, they play better.
There's only so many guys that you can play. I'm going to assume is Steve Kerr's thinking. I'm just going to try to like think like Steve right now. And he's already shortened the rotation. Don't think he's playing more than 9 guys. And he usually wants to play 10 or 11. He threw a Nico tonight. Didn't work. And I think he feels like he just has too many people that can't score and doesn't value Juan Toscano-Anderson's defense or passing as much as he should, which is doesn't really make as much sense, right? But they need a little bit more because without Klay Thompson, they need that scoring that Ken Bazemore provides. Even though Bazemore does a lot of dumb stuff, he's still a better scorer, objectively, than Juan Toscano-Anderson. Same with Damian Lee, right? So those guys are going to get the run to begin with because they feel like they need that rather than kind of try to see if 2 Draymonds out there on offense can survive. I don't know. That's what I'm guessing, Sam. That's probably the best I've got.
I'm with you. That makes sense. So let's keep moving here. We have Payon one more shot.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, so the previous callers kind of touched on the points I wanted to, but I'm fucking tired of Bazemore, man. Like, you know, like when you're playing like hoop, like a 24 or whatever, someone keeps making a mistake and they keep saying, "Oh, my bad, my bad." This fool does that like 3 times a fucking game, man. Like like all fucking season, you know? So, I mean, he fouls nonstop too, you know what I mean? But, I mean, he hit some decent shots tonight, so I don't want to get on him too much, you know?
That is the Bazemore vibe all season, right? You get mad at him, but then He'll make some plays that'll just – but he'll make some plays that'll just save the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. We lost him.
But, yeah, he's frustrating like that. Really
the
tough.
The all-my-bad team. That's a good way to put it. Pam, we appreciate you. We're bringing on Larry. Larry, what's up,
man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey, what's sweet. Up? Great win, but two things. First, that Murray injury, man, really sobered me, man. I was, like, arguing with you guys, man, stuff needs to play more minutes. But, like, seeing Murray injured, right, I was like, man, like, those two extra minutes, right, could mean the difference between an injury like that or just staying unscathed. So, I used to agree with you guys. We need to play stuff more minutes. But after seeing Murray's injury, man, I don't know about it anymore.
No.
Yeah. Second thing is, I think, I know you guys have been talking about Draymond a lot. But I think, like, my observation is Draymond's scoring, like, really just comes down to, like, matchups, right? I think against slower centers like Jokic, like, he scores really well. And you can see that, I think, not 2 years ago, the playoff series against Portland, right? They play nothing but slow centers. Like, Draymond was just scoring like a beast, right? But against, like, teams that play, I think, more mobile fours and fives, like AD, Siakam, Kawhi, and stuff like that, I mean, just Draymond just doesn't score. So I think Draymond's gotten to the point of a carry where I think his effectiveness is going to be very matchup-based, right? I think which is why it's important that the Warriors get the right matchups to kind of maximize Draymond, because I think, yeah, it's just against bad matchups and better players, he's not going to score that much.
Yeah, Larry, that's a good point. Andy, your thoughts?
The first one with the injury, I think, is more Jamal just came off an injury.
Right.
First game back, playing at 120% in a playoff atmosphere type of game. I wouldn't say that it was those extra minutes that it was the injury. Not a doctor, but if I were to guess, that sounds like it's overcompensation or something like that. That's not something that you would do normally. It's not like he played the last three games, right? And that's what happened. And then the second piece, Sam, you take that one. That's a good one with the matchup.
I do think Draymond, the worse his offense gets, the more he's a little more matchup-based. But with that said, I think you just have to build your roster around it a little bit and live with the fact that, like, okay, he's not a big scoring threat. He's more of a passer. So I think, I don't know. The good outweighs the bad with Draymond, ultimately, for me. I see it more as a thing you have to build around than, you know, anything else. We can keep moving. Jamil, what's up, man?
What's up? Speaking of Draymond, this was probably his best game in months. And another thing, I thought I hated Brad Wanamaker, but I think Cam Bazemore has reached that limit. My goodness!
But Cam Bazemore makes shots though. Brad Wanamaker wasn't making shots.
I think in this game, right? He had like three straight possessions where he just came down and just did something stupid. He fouls somebody. He leaves Murray in the corner. Then he clanks a layup. Then he'd be like, yo, my bad, my bad, my bad, my bad, my bad, my bad. I'm like, dude. next year, he should not be on the team.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I have to say.
Jamil, appreciate you. All
right. It's like Boston Sports Radio we've got going on here. I love it.
Yeah, I don't even have anything else to say about it. I'm just dying. We're going to do two more, and then we'll call it a night, right?
Two more. Yeah, well, the vet man, I don't know. I'd take him back. The vet man's not too bad. All right, Diego.
We'll give Diego, we're back. Diego, right. What's up, man? Let's do this.
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's up?
Hey. I guess my question is, I know we don't know Wiseman's extension of his injury yet. So what would you say is, like, the best case scenario for the season if he's just out for the rest of the season, I guess?
Appreciate the question, Diego. I'll take this one. I think
you got to plug your pod, too, Sam.
Oh, what?
No, oh, okay. I was messing with you. I was saying plug the pod that you did with Dr. Raj.
I was going to say, by the way, you can check out the podcast of Dr. Raj where he broke down all the potential scenarios of the range of outcomes. But, like, the reality is if it's not serious, it's about him being able to work all over the summer and get better, right? Like, that's what we're hoping for, right?
Gotta be. Some way, whatever he's working. I saw an article today that KG was going to be helping him. Did you see that one? Like, all right.
Yeah, and these are things where if it's the full tear and he's out 4 months, like, he doesn't get that work in. So that's what we want to see going forward. All right, we'll get into the last caller here. Let's bring on Juwan. Juwan, what's up, man?
Sam, I love the fact that you do a great job of keeping it PC when everybody gets on here and starts slandering people on the Warriors. I'm going to end off with – I just want to say I'm the captain of Bazemore Slander Island. And if you lock Kent Bazemore in an empty gym, he would leave with 3 fouls and 4 turnovers. Thanks for my call.
All right, are we ending it there? Is it, man, we're having such a glorious – I need to know who's going to have the big Steph call. We need to end on a positive Steph note. Which one of these people? Who's giving me the Steph notes? All right, Gavin, we'll let you up here. Gavin, what's
How
up,
How you doing?
Good, what's up, man?
So listen, with Steph, right, I know people know, you know, people have, you know, Magic as, you know, the greatest point guard of all time and everything. But, you know, for me, like, it's getting to the point where I have to put Steph up there. I'm sorry.
I think I'm with you.
About that.
I think I'm with you. First off, Gavin, we appreciate you. We're going to end on this note. Andy, Magic Johnson, were you even alive when he retired?
No, I'm leaving that one up to you, sir. No takes from me there.
I was, 7 years. The point is, I'm not here to argue about Magic's greatness, but for a generation, no, 3 generations, Steph is the best point guard you've ever seen. I don't want to hear anyone under the age of 45 telling me that Magic is better than Steph. You didn't watch Magic. You're just scrolling Wikipedia and looking for reasons to slander. If you did not watch Magic Johnson choke in the 84 finals as tragic Magic, I do not want to hear your Steph slander about 2016. If you do not watch Magic win in 81 or 87, I do not want to hear about how it was more impressive than Steph's finals. You didn't see it. So my general opinion is, if you're under the age of 45, you do not get to claim Magic Johnson as the best point guard you've ever seen.
That's how we fucking end the podcast.
Yeah, that's how we go. All right, appreciate you all. Pod will be out in the morning.